everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Okie dokie, good. Alrighty, welcome everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And we'll be using the call sign of K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo tonight. The purpose of the TechNet is to have a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, electronics, computers, the natural phenomena and sciences that underlie our hobby, and of course, how we apply our hobby. What do we do with it? What have we done with it? What do we aspire to do with it? What do we aspire never to do again? Etc. So there's a broad range of opportunity here for a conversation about amateur radio. And we encourage you to do so. You can also post things that are for sale, for swap, or wanted items. So if you're missing something or need something, you can post your needs there too. Now, we'd like you to check in to the net, even if you don't have one of those things in mind. And the reason is that we would like to know essentially who's out there. We can tailor the net for those who listen. But we don't know who that is. If we don't know who that is, it's very hard to do. So I'm sure you can understand that we'd like to have your participation. If I seem a little tired, I am. Had a couple of late nights and early mornings. But after that, I'm going to get a really good night's sleep. I won't have to wake up till almost 8:30 tomorrow morning, so that's a good thing. So looking forward to that. So just bear with me. It's been a good week. All right. So with no further ado, let's talk about how you access the net. Hold on. One of the things we do is we access via the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater located in Alpine, New Jersey. Its frequency is 146.955. The offset is -600, and of course the PL is 141.3. The other thing is that we have Echolink access, which we will have a separate check-in for, so don't worry, we won't forget you. And that's K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima. K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima. And that's our Echolink. And then finally, the nets are recorded on amateurradio.tangovictor. Actually, it's not finally. I have two more things. Amateurradio.tangovictor. You can hear any of the past nets going back 8 or 9 years, almost 9 years now. Except for the first three nets, which are not there. But amateurradio.tangovictor, and you'll see right on the banner page, BaroTechNet. You can even look through the archives by selecting more than what's posted there. Pardon me. And then finally, and I do mean finally, we have a website that we use to monitor, to manage resources and things that are mentioned on the net here. It's called ComTech Group. It's one word. Charlie Oscar Mike Tango Echo Charlie Hotel Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa ComTech Group on the Yahoo Groups. If for any reason you can't find that, or you have a question during the net, and for some reason you're not, or some resource you'd like to send our way, feel free to email me w2tangotangotango@att.net. You can also email me at w2ttt@att.com. They'll go to different machines, and that's fine. Right now, my att.net account doesn't seem to be coming up on my compute, my other computer, so feel free. Actually, I will have it up in a second. But anyway, but amateur idiot, I mean, probably W2TTT at att.net and .com both work. Alrighty, so with no further ado, let's get on with the business at hand here. Let's see. Stations whose call signs...
Repeater. Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
Yep, I'm smart enough to run a side tone because I know I'm a little overtired and I'll talk long, so I apologize. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted items, some combination of those things or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Over.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Very good. Very good. How are you, Jim? Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Japan Echo, Kilowatt, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Donald with a comment. Got you covered. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo.
WA2ISC, go ahead.
I had some questions. I want to be sure I got my MeshNet thing properly configured. Over.
Yeah, it's Bob, right?
Yeah, Bob.
Okay, very good, Bob. Very good. Okay, yeah. Who was the other station who came in with Bob?
Ray, W2CH, White Plains. None of the above. Good evening.
Good evening, Ray. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Lima, Charlie, November. The name is Rick over in Bloomingdale. I'm just going to be listening in for the moment.
Hey, Rick. Very good. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
WI2W, Steve. Just listening tonight. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I may just disappear and slither upstairs into bed. So if I don't come back, if you call me, you'll know why. Back to net.
Steve, are you going to want to make an announcement about Sunday?
The Barra meeting will take place on Sunday, 7 o'clock at the Senior Center in Township of Washington in Bergen County. We had a Mike Lysenko was scheduled to talk, but given the impending weather, we decided that's probably not a good idea since he has to travel in from the Bronx. So we're going to reschedule Mike, and we have another presentation lined up, a shorter presentation for those that do want to come out and enjoy the meeting. And back to net, K2BAR, WI2W.
Okay, very good. And yeah, he comes from Brooklyn, by the way, but that's okay. All right, hope you feel better. Believe me, I understand all about feeling under the weather. In the first week, I felt really, really good in about two, so this is really, really good. All right, any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Good evening, Sir Charles. Any other whiskeys?
W2CKE.
W2TKE, Frank?
Yep, Frank in Montvale, just listening.
Okie doke, welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty, let's go to November's.
NY.
NY9A, go ahead, George.
N in Alliance, Nebraska. No traffic. Back to that.
Longer I'm going to be sitting around here, but I do like participating at least briefly.
Okay, I got two Novembers, so and I understand, it's totally understandable why you guys doubled. Okay, George, what are your intentions for tonight?
Just listening mercifully and graciously.
You're always gracious. Alright, very good. N2 Victor Hotel Zulu, what are your intentions, Mr. Ken? Ken, you got to give the system a chance to flow through before you talk. So all we got was your Kerchunk. We didn't actually get any voice.
For all of Alliance Nebraska right now, and just wanted to link up and listen to the net. So I'm on the side here. A2VAR, Gordon, this is N2VHC. Back to you.
Okay, very good. Ken, just be aware that we do a separate echo link check-in. I know it's tempting to jump in, but the reason we do that is because sometimes the echo link's latency bites folks and causes doubling, which is what happened. But no big deal. We got you. Be safe out there. Enjoy that balmy weather you guys are having or will have by the weekend, I think. Heard something like places like Colorado will be 61 degrees by Saturday. It's pretty awesome. All right. Any other Novembers?
And to Z and Q, Yonkers, New York, Stan, Sierra Tango Alpha, November.
Okay, Stan, N2ZNQ. What are your intentions, sir?
We're just in a mobile right now. We're just listening.
Okay, very good, Stan. Nice to hear you. Any other Novembers?
November 2, India Zebra Echo. John?
John, and your intentions?
Okay, just listening right now. Good to hear the net on, and we'll just be listening and... should we have anything to add, we'll jump in later. So, back to net control.
Okay, very good. Thank you, John. Any other Novembers?
And to NBR.
Good evening, sir. Mr. John, what are your intentions?
Nothing off the top of my head at the moment. It's just that I just heard about the bankruptcy of Radio Shack, Chapter 11 and like that. So it's, we have a couple of Radio Shacks around here, and we're all now wondering what we're going to do without them, even though they have extremely sparse limitation in terms of parts and like that. They still came in handy once in a while, you know, you get a light bulb or something like that. That's the only thing I was concerned about. Back to you, Gordon.
Well, all the stores won't be closing if it's Chapter 11. If it's Chapter 7, they would. My gut feeling is you'll be able to pick up some interesting items. Have to just know which stores have them and what's interesting these days. Alrighty. Any other Novembers? Okay. Alphas.
AC2T. Just listening today. If I hear anything, I'll pop it.
Good evening, Paul. Very good. Any other Alphas? All righty, let's move on to Kilo 2s. Kilo immediately followed by the number 2.
I've got a cold in the nose. My situation is just like Steve. I may disappear, and I'll just be listening. Thank you. K2EIR.
Hope you feel better, Howie. No problem. Any other Kilo 2s? K2GFM, Greg. Hi, Gordon. I have a question. Okay, very good, Greg. It's Golf Fox November.
Golf Fox Mike.
Yeah, I thought my ears were playing games on me. I'm sorry. I should know better. All right. Very, very good, Greg. Welcome aboard. And we'll get a hold of you in a little bit. You said you had a question, so we'll get you. That's a good thing. Any other Kilo 2s? I'm sorry, say again? I didn't catch anything that time. Let's try any Kilos.
KC2NKU, Maryland and White Plains. Good evening, everybody. No comments, no questions.
Maryland, good hearing you. Welcome aboard, KC2NKU. We got you. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta India Golf, Don Massapequa, listening.
Good evening, Don. Welcome aboard, K2DIG, K2BAR. Any other Kilos? didn't actually hear any audio. All right, just curiosity, is K2AMI in here? All right, Echolink stations, other than our good friend Mr. Ken in Alliance, Nebraska, from New Jersey via Germany, as it were. Any other stations on Echolink?
N2MH, checking in. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, Mark. What are your intentions, sir?
Well, my intentions were to have somebody else check in with me, but when I went on to conference, I couldn't key the radio. I was able to make a call out to AE6XC and had a bridge on the phone with me.
Oh, that's awesome. So they were on the bridge and you were also on the Echolink?
No, I was on Asterisk over the mesh.
Oh, that's cool. Very nice. Very nice. So we, I think we'll come back. I'm going to make a point of asking to come back for the comment. We'll talk about this a little bit more and explain what that was all about. So just hang tough, Mark. Any other stations on Echolink?
Mitch, just monitoring tonight.
Okay, Mitch, are you on Echolink or are you on direct? And what's your call? Oh, KM4GHN, I know your call. So, how are you accessing?
That Kilo's one more shot there, but you jumped right to Echolink, so I couldn't jump in. So, I caught the tail end of the person who keyed in, but we couldn't hear him. So, I'm on a 10-watt ham here. Over.
Okay, no problem, Mitch. I got you. Yeah, N2MH is on Echolink, and so's... So's Ken into the HZ. All right, any other stations on Echolink? Okay, last check-in. Anybody else wanting to check in to the net? Please call K2BAR.
82 HPJ. Name is Jim in Lyndhurst. Just listening in. I have you on my portable also. For some reason, I can't transmit out.
Okay, very good. K2HPJ. That was Jim.
D2HPJ.
That's affirmative. Name is Jim.
Okay, very good, Jim. Welcome aboard. And any other stations on Echolink? Or actually, any stations any which way? Yeah, I'm sorry. That last station I did not get. Try one more time with maybe a better position or power. Alrighty, well, there we go. Let's get going here. Don, W2JEK, it's your ball, sir, K2BAR.
K2BAR in the net, good evening, everybody. Don, W2JEK. Barra will be running a VE test session on Friday, February 20th at 7 p.m. Westwood Regional High School. Coming for a test, you'll need a $15 test fee, identification like a driver's license or a passport or some other photo ID or two forms of non-photo ID. And if you are licensed, bring your license and a copy of that license. The calculator, that's fine. The calculator must be empty. The memory. Cell phones or iPods or other devices may be used as calculators, just a plain old calculator. And if you are putting FRN number on your 605 form, if you do not have an FRN number, you will use, if you don't have a license, you use your Social Security number, be sure to bring that. Studying for the general exam should be aware that the general question pool will change as of July 1st. There will be different exams that we're studying now will be obsolete. If you are studying, get to a test session before the end of June. Take your test. And one other thing, just let me drop it a second. There is a thing where the FCC has allowed open credit for general, advanced, and extra class license fees. Licenses have expired and expired beyond the 2-year grace period. Get back into ham radio by taking the current technician exam. They prove they have their head on a general license, they'll get a general license. Advanced class, because there are no more advanced class licenses being issued with general license. An extra person who has an extra license will get his extra class back. And there's another thing coming down the pike. They're not going to put out any more paper licenses. And I'm getting information more about that from the ED. They're going to have some kind of a handout to tell you how to deal with that. So I'll have that in my hands by the end of the session. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, anybody have any questions for Don regarding licensing? Okie dokie. Don, any final?
One thing about this paper license business, I mentioned it on the air to one of my friends who was going to go over to Spain and take a rig with them, and they want to see an original license. They don't want to see any copies, so I'll get it out of the internet. I don't know how they're going to fly. He's got an original license, but what the foreign countries want. But also, again, last week I saw people wanting vanity license plates on the cars. Getting these to government officials. Maybe that's all something that you have to deal with. That's about it for now. Back to net, WJK.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Don. Yeah, I don't want to go back into that conversation again. not that quick, anyway. Alrighty. Well, good. Thank you very much. K2GFM, Greg, what was your question for tonight, K2BAR?
K2GFM, hey Gordon, thanks. I appreciate everything you guys are helping me out with here. Another newbie question. Thanks last week for helping me figure out how to do the connections on the coax. I appreciate that. The question tonight is, I need to get that coax into the house. And I normally in the past, you know, I basically have a long drill bit and I drill into a wall and I push the cable through. With these thicker cables, I'm just wondering what the current, you know, what the current thinking is on this, what the recommendations are on how you get the coax through the external wall to the interior. Someone on one of the forums that I participate on mentioned that it's a good idea to put a conduit, you know, a short PVC tube in there and stick the cable through there and then fill it up with the foam insulation to seal it. So I thought I would just throw that out here and start a discussion on recommendations for putting coax through an external wall to an interior room.
Oh boy. Okay. So, assuming you don't want to go through the window and just, you know, leave the cable sitting on your shack floor, which is pretty ugly, and you actually want to do it somewhat neatly the way you suggested, the thing that comes to mind first and foremost is that, and many of us don't do this reliably, but I can tell you that it's absolutely necessary, is to come through the wall after you found a way to ground the darn thing. And putting lightning protection on. So, in some cases, in residential cases, you'll see cables coming from wherever they come from to a ground stake or a panel that has got lightning arresters on there, on the ground, directly mounted on a ground rod, or a ground rod field, as the case may be. And then you bring jumpers from that in through the wall and away you go. As far as putting it through a piece of tubing, that's nice. I created a non-window window up in the very high part of my house. So it's framed like a window, and where there's glass, there's no glass. Instead, there's a piece of the matching green aluminum flashing that's used for the trim, dark green in our case, and behind it are
three or four sheets, I think four sheets of three-quarter inch ply, and then the sister 2x4s that are my walls. And then on the inside, I have an aluminum plate, a half inch or three, 5/8 aluminum plate that is grounded outside, right through the plate. One of the holes goes outside and grounds this plate to the ground field. So my lightning arresters are on the inside. My cable connectors are buried in the wall, and I can pull that apart and have the connections nice and neat. Now, I've never bothered to put foam insulation. You certainly could do that. But I basically push the cables through the wall, connector and all. Unless it's too big, in which case I do without the connector, and I put the connector on the inside, and then attach it to a lightning arrester, and then from there, that lightning arrester is bonded to the aluminum plate, and then the jumpers go across the shack to the radios. So some variation of that's good. They also make window type of things. MFJ makes one. There's a couple other people who make them where they've got speed-throughs for all sorts of things to come through the wall or the window. You might consider that as well. Over.
Very interesting. Okay, that was my part B question, which was what do you do with lightning arresters? And I actually purchased an Elcom lightning arrester that I was thinking of installing outside before it comes into the house. So come down from the antenna to the lightning arrester, ground that to the rod that's already in the ground by my house where the cable company had put one in, and then go into the house, and that's basically what we were talking about. Okay, interesting. Thank you.
Oh, Greg, we're not done. Just kind of curious if anybody else has got some additional thoughts on this, let's see where that might take us.
EIR.
Howie, go ahead.
Okay, keep in mind I've never done anything like this. I'm lucky in some sense being an apartment dweller and being very limited. But the one point I think I should make that I've been told by other people or seen a little bit in various QST things is when you have that PVC conduit coming through into the wall, whatever, of your building, of your house, you want to not have it parallel to the ground. You want to have the outside end, the downward pointing. So either if it's a straight piece, you want to put it in at an angle so that it's down, or get some sort of right angle type of stock. This is simply that, you know, moisture, water, rain, snow should not be coming back in. That's part of the reason for the foam. And I would say that the height above ground might matter because, you know, depending on whether you're subject to flooding or whatever, you want to keep those issues in mind. So I hope that's helpful. K2EIR.
Yeah, it is. It very much is, Howie. Lightning likes to go directly to ground, so I think the concept that that Greg was looking to pursue is very wise, very reasonable, and should be pursued. I think the issue could be, you know, a little more nasty if you have like an upper level ham shack such as I do, and that can be a little disconcerting. So there's a couple of schools of thought on grounding in general. One is that you must do it outside, bring everything to the dirt, and then bring it to wherever you have to go from there. Another is that especially for not RF grounding but for lightning protection grounding. Another says you can bring it inside, keep the connector's nice and neat. You don't need to goop them up at all. And that's kind of nice. That's what I've done. And I took a page from a lot of the commercial installations where, you know, they bring the cables in through a bulkhead, and the lightning protection is right behind the bulkhead inside the building. Well, mine is not a foot away from the bulkhead. Mine is literally on the bulkhead as it comes through. And in my case, my lightning, or my lightning protection ground is a couple of pieces of two inch braid that's insulated that goes down from the plate all the way to the ground. And one other thing you think about when you put up a ground field, whether it's an RF ground field or a lightning field, you bond all the cables together, and you make sure they're about 8 or 10 feet apart if you're going to put multiple ground rods in, because anything closer represents the same area of ground. There's enough, unless your conductivity is just so miserable, where multiple ground rods locally could be beneficial, you know, because your ground conductivity is a mess. You're just better off putting each ground rod about 8 or 10 feet apart. And in my case, they go along my house. Some are the utility ground, some are the power ground. I should say one's power, one's the water company's meter, one's electric, one's water, one's an old cable one.
Repeater, timeout, clear.
Yeah, it's twice in an evening. Anyway, the upshot is you want to space the ground rods 8 or 10 feet apart along the house. I've got a bunch of them, two on the tower, one by the air conditioning compressors, and I have one by the rear tower. They're not all yet bonded together, but they're getting there. When the snow clears, it's going to be one of my projects. So anyway, that might be helpful. Anybody else have any thoughts on bonding, grounding, bringing coaxes in, and not to mention the control leads for your rotator and other devices, by the way. That may be another thing to consider as well. Ethernet cables, if you have an elevated mesh node, things like that, those all have to be protected as well. Anybody else have any thoughts? I got a couple of different people. I think it was Richard, and also I heard Don, you first.
This is W2JEK. I used to work for the phone company, and I was never out in the installation field. I heard a lot of stories about people putting holes in where they thought they were going into the basement and came out the living room. I drilled a hole in the basement and drilled up to the place in the out in the living room. Well, he came out in the living room right into the leg of somebody's piano. There's a whole bunch of other stories too lengthy to go into here, but whenever you're drilling, measure twice or three times and make sure that you're not somewhere you should. Sometimes these houses can be back in that W2JK.
Yeah, good idea. Anybody else? Was that Richard in there?
I come in N2DXC.
Oh, N2DXC, go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, just short brief interjection here. I did hear Greg, I believe, talk about running the lighting arrestor to an existing ground rod that the cable is already connected to. I believe I heard that correct. And my sense is that something you typically don't want to do is you kind of want want that to a separate and its own ground rod. So I thought I heard that. Maybe I misheard it, but my understanding is that typically you want to have one separate ground rod for different things. If the cable company already put one into their own system, you're better off for a number of reasons than just running a separate ground rod, 8, 10 feet away from that one for your radio system. So that can't be, safety ground rod from your antenna, case of I just want to get a quick reaction on that, and back to you, Gordon. Thanks for letting me in.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you could have conducted radiation across the ground bridges if you do bridge them across. So far, my experience has not shown that to be a problem in the house. So, you know, never fear. It it has what do you call it? It hasn't been a problem for me, but certainly it could be. So, the more ground rods you get, whether they are for lightning protection or for, you know, RF grounding, the better off you are. And you might not want to bond to the utility ones, but the ones I've bonded to so far, the old cable one, which I don't use for cable, and the one for the which I think the water company actually commandeered, and the one for power, which my electrician put in 10 years ago, seems to offer no problem, and maybe a slight improvement. Over.
Yep, good commentary. Always thinking about this for myself as well. And I'll let you pick it back up and let the conversation flow. M2DXT.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any comments? Alrighty. Greg, I think we've answered your question.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. And thanks to everyone on the call.
Alrighty. Very good. Well, thank you very much, Greg, for that question. You sure you got nothing more?
I've got lots, but I have to organize my thoughts before I ask any more, so I'm going to stop here. Thank you. K2GFM.
Okay, very good. K2GFM, W2TTT, K2BAR. All righty. Bob, WA2ISC, roll the question. K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, WA2ISC, I set up one of these HSMM mesh net things some time ago. So far as I can tell, I've never had any traffic. Over.
I don't know if you've had traffic, but you've certainly had connections when I've driven by your house. But Lord knows if that's recent, because I don't know what you're running. So what version of software are you running?
It's 0.4.3, over.
Oh, well, okay. So you're way, way out of line. So here's the good news. Go to bbhn.org, Bravo Bravo Hotel November.org. Go to the experiment, go to the software downloads, go to the experimental builds. Actually, why don't I do that real quick to make sure, because I think that there is about to be a new release, and you don't have to do the experimental builds if it's already out, but let me just check real quick, and I'll be right with you. Hold that thought.
Okay, that was BB something dot, you better give that website again.
BBHN. Bravo Bravo Hotel November.org. And when you get there, it's taking me a while because I'm on the corporate net here. You'll see on the left side software download. You click on that. You click on, in your case, Linksys software. And yeah, you want to go to experimental builds, which is at the, where is it? I'll find it. Wait, did they take off the experimental build? Hold on.
Okay, BB Hotel November, right?
Right. Yeah, run that. Oh, I see the problem. Stand by. Stand by, stand by.
Okay.
I fell into the classic trial problem. BBHNDev, Delta Echo Victor.org. And you'll see a downloads link on the side. You want the 301 software. And in your case, you're upgrading an existing Linksys node to the first file.
Yeah, it's a, I think it's a Linksys WRT54G router.
Right, yes, and to upgrade it, you're going to want the first file in that list. It says BBHN-3.01. You'll see it. It's a TRX file. If you're upgrading an existing Linksys node, or you want a TRX file. If not, you want the file that matches your hardware. And away you'll go. You'll have to bring everything up from scratch. Remember that after you load that and reboot, unplug your laptop from the node, plug it back in. When it comes up, it'll have no configuration in it. So just do local node, and you'll get into it. And the ID is root, and the password is HSMM. Hotel Sierra Mike Mike is the default password.
Okay, I think I got that. I'll give it a try in a couple of days. Over.
Roger, if nothing else, you'll see my node linked to yours as I screech down your street going between Bergenfield and Paramus a couple of times a week, so you'll get a momentary contact. All right, very good. And you'll see that in your last heard list. Alrighty. Anybody else wanting to upgrade their nodes or get involved in broadband hamnet, go to the bbhndev.org site, bbhndev.org, not bbhn. The bbhn site is not as current. The dev site is release software. I think you'll do just fine with that. And more importantly, we've got functional tunneling. So for those of us who do not have RF links to everywhere we would like to go, we can use our internet connections to link together. Now, just for your information, Bob, if you have a Linksys node, you're doing that. It must be a 54GS Golf Sierra, not a G or a GL. The tunneling only works with GS nodes. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Anybody else have anything they might want to add?
And to Z and Q, I had a legal question.
Okay, hold on, let me get my pointed hat on. Okay, I'm good, go ahead.
Okay, recently a lot of states have enacted laws. Basically, it's a violation if you're using a cell phone in a car. I don't know how that affects those of us who have amateur radios and so forth. Can you explain that, or maybe is there a site that I can look at to see if I'm legal or not?
Okay, that's a different subject. We'll get to that in a minute. That's not a problem. I thought you had a legal question regarding broadband hamnet. Okay, we'll come back to you in a minute. Not a worry. That's a good can of worms topic, and we'll open that up in a minute. Anybody else have anything on mesh networks or broadband hamnet, things like that? Okay, that's good. And then Mark, NTMH, he has set up a mesh node, or two, or maybe more, I don't know. I should go look. And he's got a tunnel connection from West Orange over to Randy, as do I, Randy W2S over in Washington Township. And actually, I see two of your nodes Mr. Mark. I see N2MH Jeep, I see N2MH Temp, and N2MH West Orange. So, let's see what that represents. And why don't you explain what you did with your Echolink as well? That might be entertaining. N2MH, K2BAR. Oh, sure. Now he has no audio. Forgive us, guys. Hang on one second. Yeah, Mark, for whatever reason, there was no audio on that until the end. There still is no audio. I think it's a dead carrier of some sort. Yeah, Ken, we have somebody who's putting a signal on their repeater without audio. We don't know if it's Mark or not, so just bear with us, Ken.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, N2MH, if that was you making that long transmission, we had no audio that time. And alas, not this time either. I'm gonna get on Echolink and back you up. All right, let's do this. Before we switch gears here, anybody have anything else to say about broadband hamnet, mesh networks, etc.?
N2VH.
N2VH said, go ahead.
Okay, very good. Could you give me your personal knowledge of what you're talking about there, this broadband hamnet, what it does, how it works, what type of hardware do you need, what type of software, operating system, so forth and so on. Give me a rundown on that, the benefit of the net. Maybe some people don't understand what this is. It sounds very interesting, though. Back to you, Gordon.
Okie dokie. I'm going to give you the less than 2 minute drill on broadband hamnet or mesh networking. Basically, it's for amateur radio, it's either running on Linksys hardware, specific Linksys hardware, or specific Ubiquiti hardware. Ubiquiti is preferred if you're going out and buying something new. There are a lot of advantages to it. Basically, they share an SSID. They automatically say, oh, you're part of the same community. And they link up together. And they automatically distribute routing tables, which are very kind of handy. And now you can automatically route from one part of a network to another. People advertise services, i.e. they put up, little routers, cameras, weather stations, all sorts of things, phones, PBXs for phone switching, video servers, all sorts of things. And they link them together. They're linked together on the radio at 2.4 gig, at 5.8 gig, at 900 megs. Or they link using a backhaul onto your household broadband or a cellular backbone or some combination of those things. So the software is available for free at bbhndev.org. You have to make sure you load the right software into the right box. And there's plenty of reading to both at bbhndev and bbhn.org. Both sites are good, but the current software is always on BBHN Dev. No matter what they say on BBHN, the current software is on BBHN.dev.org. Just for reference, we've got about maybe 40 stations all linked together, or 40 nodes, maybe more. And they are Mark's, they're mine, they're Randy's, here in New Jersey, at WE2S Randy. And then there's E5CA and AE6XE in California, and a bunch of other guys in California. So it's really kind of neat. So we're now able to pull things together quite handily. And and it's really kind of interesting. One of the favorite things for people to do is look at the fish cam from AE6XE. Very entertaining watching his fish tank. Anyway, all sorts of good stuff. Does that help you a little bit?
Connected N2OEL.
Not even aware that this existed. Excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate the answer, Gordon. Back to net.
Yeah, and I'll be real honest. A lot of people just set up a node on their house and then use the mesh to link stuff around the house, around their property, down to the park, maybe a mile or so away, if they have a clear shot. At 2.4 gig, it's hard to have a clear shot. At 900, it's a little easier. But there's some bandwidth limitations there, and you have to be thoughtful as to where you place it. But it can be done. And, of course, at 5.8 gig, there's some benefits there, too. Smaller antennas, only a 6 dB loss for the change in frequency, and you can easily make that up with antenna if you're using directional stuff. So it works out pretty well. BBHN and BBHNDev.org. And again, of course, Comtech Group on Yahoo Groups has stuff there, too. So, anything else on this topic? Okay, very good. I guess we'll call it quits there. Let's see. We had a request from Lordy, I'm brain dead here for a second, just bear with me. From Stan, N2ZNQ, about the legalities of operating without a hands-free gizmo or even ham radio in a car. I believe New York and I know New Jersey have exemptions specifically for amateur radio. It would be wise to keep a copy of said regulation in your visor, so that when you get pulled over and accused of using your phone or some other darn thing, that you can clearly show that it was there. What some people have chosen to do is take the ticket. Don't push the cop into giving you a ticket for something different that's indefensible, and instead walk the ordinance into or the state law into your judge and get it thrown out there. It all depends on how you want to play the game, but personally, I keep a copy of the requisite piece of New Jersey's Title 39 in my car for this exact reason, along with a copy of my amateur radio license and a couple of business cards from various law enforcement officials. That's not a bad thing either. Over.
N2ZNQ, yes, I copied that. I did go on the internet by chance when I was looking for something else. I went over some rules and regulations for New York State as they pertain to radios capable of receiving out-of-band signals. Meaning if you got a radio, an amateur radio, that can also pick up police and whatever. There's still some gray area in that. The answer is sort of yes and no and maybe. The way the legalese is on that, it's really hard to, go either way on that. So I was wondering if they had something else as it related to actual use of a ham radio. If a cop thinks that you're using some sort of a cell phone device or whatever. I appreciate that.
Okay, so you're mixing two issues here. One is, a radio capable of receiving public safety. That's one whole dance. And the other dance is a cell phone or other handheld electronic device must use a hand-free device, are you allowed to pick up a push-to-talk, microphone for ham radio? And in New York and New Jersey, you are allowed to pick up a microphone, to communicate on amateur radio. Please note, not CB. We're lumped in with public safety people and all sorts of other fun things. Do not try to use your EchoLink on your phone or your tablet while rolling down the road and expect to be exempted. That's not going to cut it. You might try it when you get into court, but I wouldn't even bother with it with a law enforcement officer. That's not going to fly real well. And depending on the mood of the judge, you probably won't fly there either, but we'll see. In New Jersey, the requirement is that if the radio is an amateur radio and you're not doing, in fact, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. In New Jersey, you're allowed to have a scanner in the car as long as you're not committing a crime and using it in the commission of the crime. If you are, it becomes an add-on charge in New Jersey. And that's the way it is in a lot of states. I don't know what New York's law is. Over.
And appreciate that. I tried looking up some of the rules and regulations on amateur radio, but the only thing I found was the use of devices that can pick up out-of-band frequencies and such. I couldn't find any links to, probably didn't try hard enough, but couldn't find anything about just standard ham radio use, but I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, very good, Stan. Anybody else?
B2JEK with a comment.
Mr. Don?
This New Jersey law went into effect, about 10 or 15 years ago. We had incidents where people had mobile rigs that had the wide receive. I mean, they could receive from, let's say, 120 to 160 megahertz, including the 2 meter band, giving police frequencies and whatnot. And a couple cases, the state police confiscated the radios, and when they eventually got returned to the owners, but they didn't work after that. And there was quite a big uproar about it. Anyway, there was a lawyer, he's from Clifton, I believe it, I think it was the Hintu call sign, and I forget his name, but he and Steve Mendelson and some people got on the bandwagon. They changed the law, but just described it. That part of the, you can't have a scanner in the car or a ham radio that can pick up the police frequencies. If you're not using it to commit a crime, you're all right. Back to that, W2JK.
Right. And to that point, you don't need to be a ham to have the scanner. You're welcome to have a scanner in New Jersey. Just don't do something else that's, you know, involving that radio in the commission of the crime, and you're good to go. Alrighty. I think New York's law is similar but different, and I think that's the murkiness that you're bringing up, Stan. Alrighty. Anything else on the net tonight? Yeah, I don't know what happened to Mark's audio, but let me explain a little bit what happened there. Mark has a PBX and a BeagleBone black small microcontroller. It's like a Raspberry Pi or that kind of thing, except a little bit more powerful. And it's got conferencing capabilities, and it's got a radio bridge, which is kind of neat, so you can access a radio and push to talk on that, things like that. It's really kind of cool. It also has a conference bridge on it, so you can actually have people accessing the thing from across the mesh. In his case, he actually mounted it on his mesh network, and he got somebody else to dial to connect into his conference bridge from across the mesh. It was a tunnel mesh, but a mesh nonetheless. And the two of them were on a quote conference call. On his PBX from two different remote nodes. One, in his case, was across his house, and the other node was across the internet, across a bunch of RF links to this other station's ham, broadband hamnet node. So that was kind of neat. So there's a lot of overlaying of mesh network, asterisk, all-star software, to provide voice services over a mixture of